You're going to help me preach. John, Leonard, you got a new one for your choir. Nothing like precious children.
Amen. Even when they wear on your nerves.
Yep, nothing like precious children. They are special. You know, I realize that every situation is not ideal. But this morning, to begin with, the illustration I'd like to use is what I'll call the best case scenario. I'd like for you to picture something, and then we'll use that as a background for our scripture. Now, I've never had a baby. That's obvious. I've heard that kidney stones are pretty akin, and I've had a few of those, so I can understand a little bit. But picture with me this mom just had a baby. She's hurting. She's exhausted. But what's she doing? Reaching out her arms to take that little baby and begin to shower that baby with love. Meanwhile, there's a dad that can't wait to get his arms out and get his hands on that baby. And grandma and grandpa, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, all of them wanting to stick their arms out and hold that little baby and shower that baby with love. Over the next few months, time and time again, somebody sticks their arms out and holds that little baby with love. Later, when that baby begins to toddle, they're down on their knees and they're saying, "Come to mama, come to daddy," with their arms out, giving a hug when that kid comes toddling into their arms. And throughout life, those extended arms of love when that kid comes home from school in kindergarten, when that kid comes home from college. A symbol of love, our arms out extended, saying, "Hey, I love you. You're precious. You're special." Keep that in your mind as we look at some scripture in a moment. All over the world today, there are a lot of folks that are afraid of God. You know, the God that they worship, you know, some of them don't have a God, and some of them aren't sure God exists, but even those that have a God, many of them are afraid of God. They're afraid that God is just waiting to zap them, you know, that God's going to make them sick, God's going to kill them, God's going to, you know, we blame God for the earthquakes and all of the bad stuff. And there are people that are afraid of God, afraid of what's going to happen. And the sad thing is, even that many of us as Christians live in fear of God. Live in fear that somehow or other God's going to get us. I may have shared this before, probably have, but I remember a picture book, Bible story book that we had when I was a kid. And they had the picture of this angel with a flaming sword. And it was a story of the death angel coming through Egypt and killing the firstborn. Nobody explained that story to me. Because I'm the oldest, I don't know how many nights I went to bed wondering, is tonight my night? Literally too scared to go to sleep. Totally wrong concept of God. And folks, the good news of Christmas is God loves you. God cares about you. Christmas paints an entirely different picture of God. If we could just understand it and see God's arms stretched out to us in love. I love you. I care about you. The scripture that Brother Leonard shared in the Sunday school hour and that I just read with the children. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Catch it? Goodwill toward men. If I have goodwill toward you, I want the good things to happen to you. I want blessings in your life. I want to do nice things for you. And the angels came at the very beginning saying, listen, we have good news that God has goodwill toward you. The angel did not come and say, folks, I hate to tell you, but God just can't wait to slap you upside of the head. No, I have goodwill toward you. God says, I have good things that I want to give you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved. Catch that little qualifying word? He didn't just say God loved the world. God so loved the world. God very much loved the world. God tremendously loved the world. God extraordinarily loved the world. And he sent his Son. That's love. That's arms outstretched saying, listen, folks, I love you. I love you so much that I sent my Son that whosoever, are you a whosoever? Are your friends and loved ones whosoevers? He didn't say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that the rich, the elite, the Hollywood A-list, the educated, the smart, the pretty, the handsome. God so loved that whosoever. Whosoever. Folks, that's why we do missions. That's why we share with our friends and our neighbors to let them know they're a whosoever. And God is not angry with them. God is not out to get them. God has his arms outstretched saying, whosoever will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, confess him as their Lord and Savior, whosoever can be saved. What does the scripture tell us in Peter? It's not God's will that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. People that go to hell choose to go there. It's not God's will. It's not God's will for any to perish, but all to come to redemption. Remember what Jesus, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Arms outstretched saying, "Come to me. If you're burdened with your sins, if you're burdened with care, if you're troubled, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I care about you." Think about one of the last things that Jesus told his disciples. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Think about the love that's in that. He says, "I've got this wonderful home. I'm going to give you a special part of that home. I'm going to come to get you, because I want you with me forever." Now that's special. Now we all know that here in this world, there's folks that we just should not show up at our front door. You got anybody like that? And you know how the old saying goes, you know, guest and fish are about the same. After about three or four nights, they begin to stink. You've heard that? Jesus says, "Hey, I want you with me forever. You're never going to be unwanted. You're never going to be unloved. You're never going to be out of place. I want you to come and be with me forever." As I've read like American history, and I think about people that came from Europe and they came here to America, and the man would come and he would find a place to live, and he would set up everything so that ready for his family, and then he would send back to Europe and send word, "Come, I've got it ready for you." Or sometimes a man would go out west and stake his claim, and what was it, 160 acres and a mule you could get from the government. And he would stake his claim and begin to build a house. Might be a log cabin, it might be a sod house, but he would begin to build a place. And once he had it ready, then he would send word for his wife back east and his family to come and be with them. Because he wanted his family. And see, that's the good news, is that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, wants us to be a part of his family. And he's pleading with us to come. He's got his arms out in love saying, "Hey, listen, I love you." I love you. I love you. Turn with me to Luke 15. There might be somebody here, or more likely, there are people that you're going to meet from time to time as you start to try to tell them about Jesus and ask them to be saved, ask them to give their heart and life to Jesus. And they're going to say something like this: Pastor, friend, relative, I know what you're saying about Jesus loving me, and that's all well and good. But what you don't understand is, I'm too bad for Jesus to love me. I've done too much wrong for Jesus to love me. I've sinned too greatly for Jesus to love me. I'm too far gone for Jesus to love me. A preacher friend of mine said, you know, he was trying to witness to a relative and the guy just couldn't get it. He said, you don't understand, Brother Mark. Somebody's got to pay. I've been so bad. Well, somebody did pay. Jesus paid on the cross. But you know, Jesus answered our question about being too bad here in Luke. You remember the story. We call it the story of the prodigal son. Beginning at verse 11. Certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in this land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, Bring him forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It is meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Here's a man that disrespected his father. He said, I want you dead because I want my inheritance now. And he gave it to him. He abandoned his home and all that was precious. He went out and the scripture says riotous living, and the elder brother said something about harlots. So he blew the whole inheritance on sinful living. A famine came and he was so hungry, all of those people that helped him spend his money didn't care about him anymore. And he was out in the field feeding hogs. For a Jewish boy, you know, swine, hogs were totally forbidden. For a Jewish boy to be out in there feeding hogs, he couldn't have got any lower. I mean, he was at the bottom of the ladder. He was miserable. And said he would, he was envying the butter bean hulls that the hogs were eating. Now you got to be hungry. I love butter beans, but not, and I don't care much for the hulls. He was envying what the hogs were eating. And he says nobody even gave him anything to eat. Here was a guy who got as far gone as he could go and still be alive. I mean, he was literally starving. And suddenly it comes to him. You know, my dad's got servants. They got plenty to eat. I'm going home to my dad. And when I go home to my dad, I'm just going to confess, Dad, I blew it. I messed up big time. Dad, I'm not asking to come back as a son. I just want to be a servant. I just want to be a servant. He didn't expect anything but servitude. But what did he find? He found love. And just several things about the Father. It says he was looking for him. Father wasn't in the plow in the back 40 somewhere. The Father was standing at the door or out in the front yard looking for his son. Praying that he would come home. That's God. The Father was looking for him, and it says the Father ran to him. As soon as the Father saw him come around the corner or come over the hill and realized, that's my son. Father didn't stand there and say, well, come on back, big boy, and I'll take you out behind the woodshed. No, it says the Father went running. Threw his arms around him, says he fell on his neck. Kissed him. Now, folks, my dad used to keep about 100, 150 hogs at a time. That boy didn't smell good. He didn't come back and say, you go take a bath, and when you get back from that bath, I might give you a handshake. No, this boy came in smelling bad. And the dad comes running up, throws his arms around him, kisses him, welcomes him home. So many times somebody says, well, you know, I've got to clean my life up and then I'll come to Jesus. No, you come to Jesus and he'll clean you up. He'll take you just as you are. What does the song say? Just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me. We come and we come in our sin. We come in our degradation. We come and we just come back and we say, Lord, I'm a mess. And he says, welcome home. Welcome home. I mean, he was so bad that his elder brother didn't think he was worth saving. Didn't worth redeeming, worth welcoming back. His elder brother didn't want to do anything with him. But the Father did. And there may be people that think you're not worth much. Or there may be people out there that you think they're too far gone. But there's a God in heaven. Loving Heavenly Father. He says, I'll take them. I'll take them. I'll welcome them home. And then they had a party. And folks, when you're in the Father's house, when you're in the Father's love, it's all right. I don't know how much a little baby placed for the first time in his mother's arms can experience and know I'm being loved. But I'm sure it's something. And as we grow older, when people put their arms around us and love us, it's special. But best of all, it's when God puts His arms around us and loves us, and we know He loves me now. He'll love me then. He'll love me always. And oh, isn't it good news that Jesus said, those are in my hand, and again, those that are in the Father's hand, nobody takes them out. Nobody. When you're in the Father's hand, when you're in experiencing His love, the devil and all the demons of hell can't take you out of the Father's hand. Can't take you away from the Father's love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the Father's love. Christmas is all about wonderful Heavenly Father saying, I love you. I love you. As we have a hymn of invitation, if you've never received the love of the Father and made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, would you do that? If you're afraid of God, just for a moment, realize how much He loves you. Thank Him for His love. If you have a friend or a neighbor that hasn't experienced this love, go share this love with him or her. For God so loved, He gave. Arms outstretched.